for the reading of the word. We're going to go to Proverbs 2, we're going to read through verses 1 through 11. So we'll be standing for just a moment. I'll read as quickly as I can, but I want us to hear the word of the Lord. So as those pages are turning, when you're there, just say amen. Okay, all the ones with the device said amen. The word of the Lord says in verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and observeth the ways of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. And when wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Let us pray over the word. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your holy word. I thank you for this word that you have given us, God, this word of life that gives us the strength and the direction for our paths, Lord. God, that you're ordering our steps, God, those who are called by thy name. I'm asking, God, that each and every mind here, God, that may feel, they may have walked in this place, God, feeling it in a prison in their mind. I'm asking, God, release them right now in the name of Jesus, that they may receive the word of the living God. There is no other God like you. And God, we're going to glorify and praise you and preach the word of God. I'm asking for the anointing, for I have nothing that I can say that will give them anything they need to hear. But God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would speak through me as the vessel and the conduit of the Holy Ghost to move in this house, God, to do only what you can do. And God, we're going to glorify and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm so thankful to be here. I can't tell you how thankful I am. I'm going to keep saying it, but I'm just going to say it. I'm thankful to be in the house of God. I'm thankful that I can take the Word of God and we can read the Word of God. I'm thankful for a praying church. I'm thankful for a church that worships. I'm thankful that we're united in that cause. Because there is a purpose in it. If he be lifted up, then all men will be drawn into him. That is the purpose. If there's any that's lost in this house today, if we lift up Jesus Christ, they will be drawn unto him. That is a purpose that's greater than our own. So let's focus on the word of God. There are so many questions that we can ask that revolve around the word if. You want to know what the title is today? What if? What if is the title of the message today. But there are also solutions that we come up with when we go through what if I do it this way. How many inventions have been created because someone asked the question, what if, about the car? Anybody like driving? I'm glad that I don't have to walk behind a horse and a buggy. I'm glad that I can get behind a car that has air conditioning. I'm glad that we have paved streets. I'm glad that we have so many things that are what ifs. I'm glad I can ride in a plane and I'm driving across this country. I'm glad that there's a phone. You didn't expect me to say that, did you? But there is pleasance in that as well to make things convenient. But there's so many things that happen because someone asked the question, what if, and came forth and did then. What if is a very short question, but if you think about it, what if is one of the biggest questions people ask in life. Think about it. Think about so many things in your life. And you can think back, even if you've been around for a few years, you can think about 20 years ago, the decisions I made in my life that I'm dealing with them today.
Right.
Where I'm at today, what are the purposes of what I'm doing, and so forth. But there are many of you who feel challenged by what if. And there are many who are bound up in anxiety by what if. Hello? Bound up because of what if. The world in itself wants you to be bound up in something what if and be imprisoned in this mind that we have.
Right.
Rattling things around in our mind to keep us anxious for things that may never happen.
Right.
There's a what if that I may do. There's a what if this happens. There's a what if tomorrow. What if?
Yeah.
What if?
What
There's so many things. Every day we have decisions that we have to make. Some of those decisions are small, but some of them have a great impact on our lives and those around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every day we have three children, and everything that we do every day is going to affect those three children. Right. You knew those of you that have children, everything you've done has affected those children.
Right.
No matter what it is. Everyone around you in the workplace, what you do will affect those around you. We have an effect. So what if? I ask you. So what if I started making the decision to live our lives doing the things that God said in His Word?
Yes.
The things that He would respond to.
Come on.
No, that's the second half. He's given us free will to make those decisions. He has given us a free will to make the decisions of whatever is what if. That, think about that for just a moment. The freedom of choosing all day, every day, what we would have done. Whenever the one if comes, we have that decision. Every if with God has a then. If you will, then I will. If you will and I will, then He will. You ever read the Bible that way? It was actually what it actually says. Read it. Read the Word of God. If we take the Word, it's always going to be if and then. The Bible says if we will ask for wisdom, God will respond to that request generously. God isn't stingy. He wants to do all the things that He has said He would do.
Right.
Do you believe it?
Yes, sir.
Do we believe that?
Yes,
because our actions are going to follow what we say we believe. He has given us His Spirit to help us make the right choices when the ifs show up. John 14:26 says, tells us the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and remind you of all things I've said.
Right.
Now let me add to that. If we listen. Isn't that something?
Yes.
If we listen.
If we listen.
If we don't do the if, God can't do the then.
Yeah.
You ever thought about that purpose right there?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. We see this over and over in the Word of God. If my people pray, then I will turn and heal.
Right.
If we draw near to Him, God, then He will draw nearer to us. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, then you shall abide in my love. If we ask, if we seek, if we knock, then He will answer. He will cause us to find, and He will open the door we are knocking on.
Yes, sir.
Hello? If.
Yes.
That little bitty word
makes
huge differences in every decision that we make. I'm getting closer to the mic. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I want us to get a hold of this. Grasp the if. A lot of us like to focus only on what God said He would do without focusing on what we have to do.
Right.
Let me say that again. A lot of us like to focus on what God said He would do without focusing on what He said we must do.
Right.
You ever thought about it? Because that's what the Word says. That we, there's an if and then there's a then. He said, if you come seek my face, then I'll give you that. If there's always going to be a then. If we don't do the ifs, we tie God's hands on being able to do the then. You ever want to help somebody and they wouldn't let you?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine God of all the universe seeing every one of His people, His children? I'm not talking about the sinner. The sinner's going to sin. But I'm talking about the child of God that needs help, and every single day He's trying to help His children, but we can choose His help or not.
Right.
We can allow the if to happen if we do the then. But there's so many things He says, I said that I would do this. You must trust me.
Uh-huh.
You must reach your hand towards me. His hand's not short. It cannot reach us. Even if we just reach up from where we are, He is faithful to reach down and reach where we may be.
Yes.
He's no respecter of persons. So that's out of the way. So it's an if and then. So if we're faithful to Him, there's no question He's faithful to us.
Exactly.
So many times we don't allow that. If I could ever ask, I could never ask all the ifs in this message, but I want to focus on three. First one is, what if you live according to the truth? The book of Proverbs, chapter 2, that we read this morning, begins with these words: if you receive the words of wisdom and have the commandments of God in your heart, then God is going to shield you and be a buckler, or be a buckler in King James. Shield and buckler are the same thing.
Yeah.
So, if and then I will be a shield. Anybody want a shield?
Yeah.
For every day, every part of our life, even from our own selves.
Yeah.
Come on. Sometimes we like to be self-hurt, if you will. Let's just put it in basic English. Sometimes we just hurt ourselves because of the decisions we make, because we didn't do the then, but we wanted the if. All day, every day, we have the opportunity to take things into our hearts and lives that are not the truth.
Yeah.
Notice the opportunity. The Bible tells us that guard one's heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Yeah.
Issues of life. Guard your heart. We have an opportunity to receive all the things the world is throwing, but we also have the choice to say, not here.
Yeah.
Not in this vessel of God. This is the holy vessel that God, each and every one of us, child of God, this is her. We are the church. We're not to allow those things to be in our lives, to be a part of our lives. Just think about the news headlines, the stories, the social media, and more. That fill you with what is not truth. Now, I'm going to leave that alone. I could go off that for a little bit, but I'm not going to, because we've got more important things to say. Like Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and all of your soul.
Yes. Yes.
These are more than just mere words. These are words of the Creator. These are the words of the living God. These are the words of the Redeemer. These are the words that wash us clean, white as snow. Well, these are the words of God. This means more than my words mean. It means more than everything else that's said in this world, because we are mankind, but he is God. He is a man. He is not a man that he can lie. God doesn't lie.
Right.
God always, always fulfills his word.
Yes, he does.
If and then. God is truth. The Bible tells us that there is not even a shadow of turning in him, because he is only light and truth. He's exactly what he says he is.
Yes, he is.
He's exactly, have you ever taken the word for exactly what it says?
Mm-hmm.
We oftentimes like to interpret that word into what we think it says.
Right.
But there's only truly one truth, and every bit of it is truth. There's not one question that every word of these come to pass. Every part of it is true. There's no question that he will fulfill it if we seek him.
Yes.
Then, why? Because freedom of choice. Freedom of choice is the ultimate love. Freedom of choice is the ultimate love. He loved his highest creation that he ever made so much that we are the only ones that got freedom of choice. Not another thing was created. Not another thing. You and I are being created by God himself in his image. How many things in our worlds are dark? How many things do we literally have to deal with every single day? The darkness and the shadows. Everywhere you look, if you watch anything on TV, you're going to see something. Whether you're watching something decent, there's going to be something terrible in between on the commercials. You know, at one time, you would look forward to the commercials because they were better than what you were watching.
Yeah.
But now, there's so much garbage in between that there's not worth really anything watching. And it doesn't matter what platform that you watch, there's so much that's trying to transpire to take its opportunity in our mind to take it captive. If it can take our minds captive, then the if is a lot harder for us to grasp. We'll never see the then. So if there, that word again, we are searching diligently for God, for truth, for wisdom, God says that he is going to be that shield that we will need while we are walking uprightly. The word uprightly means honorable or honesty. In other words, truth.
Yeah.
If we're walking in truth, if we're walking in truth, we have to know this, because this is truth. This is what we're judged by. This is everything of our life has to be about by this, because we have a decision that we can use this or we can decide we don't.
Right.
That freedom of choice can give us that opportunity, that if and then the then. God will be our shield while we are walking in truth. When I think of a shield, I think of something covering or guarding me. Something is holding me up or holding around me. If you're in a tornado, you want a storm shelter, amen? If you're in the stormy seas, you want a big boat. If you're in the rain, you want an umbrella. Come on, somebody. We want to have someone shield me, and I'm not big enough to shield me. God has to shield me. There's no other that can do what he can do. No matter what kind of storms are coming in your life right now, he is the shield that can walk in the truth and the light. That there's no darkness in him, but he is that truth. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter. He said, I will be your shield. He didn't say, I might be. He said, I will be. But if I'm walking in that truth, then I have no question that he said, his word told me that. Then I must believe it and walk in the truth of it.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs chapter 2, if I can get it out of my mouth, tells us that if we are seeking after the word or the truth, God will be that shield. And then we will understand the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
So what is the fear of the Lord? In Hebrew, the word means awe or reverence. Not like fear, it's like you're afraid of something, but that is part of it. Because in Hebrew, Hebrew words mean a whole lot more than English words mean. Awe and reverence does have a part of fear being part of that. In reverence of honor and glory and so much majesty, the awesomeness of God is probably the only thing you can think of as God's only thing that's awesome.
Yeah. Right.
Period. That word was made for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's not really, we use that word in a lot of ways, but the truth of it is, he's only the one that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because in all of him, if you're living according to the truth, then you will fear the Lord. If you fear the Lord, there are three things that will happen. The fear of the Lord will give you wisdom.
Yes.
The fear of the Lord will keep you from sin.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
If you have all of God in your life, you're most likely not to be concerned about what's happening in the sinful world. If you have awe of God, fear of God, if you will, it's a lot harder to go against that.
Yes.
Awe and reverence of God.
Yes.
Is spending time with him.
Yes.
Diligently, daily, spending time with him. The awe of God, the fear of the Lord will motivate you to witness. Whenever the Holy Ghost came, we just like to speak to, we're Pentecostal, we like to talk about the evidence of speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Right? And that's fine. But this evidence, there's so much more than that. The purpose of the Holy Ghost to give you boldness, you and I, to preach the gospel, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just to speak in tongues. Come on. Hello. That's a good place right there to say amen. We like to speak in tongues, and that's great. That's wonderful. As Paul said, I speak more than most. But the point is prophecy is more profitable in the church when people can understand it.
Right.
Yes. You may pray in tongues, and that's wonderful. You may speak in tongues, and that's wonderful. But the purpose of the Holy Ghost was more for you to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. That you can overcome the flesh by walking in the Spirit and the truth of his power. Because you can go be effective witness because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, not because you spoke in tongues, because that was just an evidence, but the purpose was for you to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. So all those could be saved.
Yes.
By hearing the truth.
Good.
That's the truth.
Yes.
Of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Now, if we seek after that truth, if we just let God come in and be that wisdom in our lives, if we just sup with him, if you will, sup with him. What does that mean? As having meals with him. If you're having meals, you're gathered together and there's a time spent with him. That means when you sup with the Lord God Almighty, that you're going to receive something. You're going to receive nourishment as the bread of life, as that word, where you drink the cup of God Almighty. When you sup with him, then therefore he is in your midst. When you sup with him, there's a time spent and a special anointing is brought, because where God shows up, there's freedom in the house. Amen?
Amen.
When God shows up, there's freedom in the house. Only God can bring this. He will be that sweetness of your soul. I know this firsthand in myself, and you do as well. Whenever you spend time with him, So through all the business, all the dramas are thrown at us in life, it's so difficult for us to want to spend that time with Him. Oftentimes, we get up and we're tired. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Right? That's normal. It's okay. We're all normal.
Yeah.
But there comes the first choice. Who am I glorifying?
Right.
With my first breath.
Right. Yes.
Where am I going to spend my moments? What is truth? What if I live like the truth? Not looking for it so we can beat people over the heads with it. We don't study the Bible to find truth to beat somebody over the head with it. We study the Bible so we can live a righteous, truth life, to persevere us so we can make it through this world, so people can see our lives and say, hey, there's something different about them. There's something in them that I want to know. There's something greater. They can overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. That testimony that you're walking in each and every day, that can set someone free.
Yeah.
Because a right, fitly word, which will only happen by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
That boldness of the Holy Ghost. Number two, what if you do or don't obey? If God says something over your life, then you have to walk in obedience towards it, right?
Yes.
If you don't obey, God isn't obligated to make it happen.
That's true.
Just because you're called to it doesn't mean you're going to get there. He's not going to make you do anything. Freedom of choice, remember? We must realize what the Word of God says if we do the ifs. Then.
Yeah.
So when we're called, that there's obvious places we must go and do. If you run from a calling, God isn't going to hogtie you and make you be a preacher or a teacher. Amen? He's not going to make you. Whatever He's called you to, it doesn't matter if you're called to be a prayer warrior, a helper, a business person. Whatever God's called you to do, there's a purpose for every one of our lives. If you question that, open your Bible. There is a purpose for every single life, and that's good and not evil. There's a purpose for us, for Him to do great and mighty things that only He can do, and only He can bring to pass if we obey. There's an if involved before God does the then. In Genesis 12, Abraham was given a promise, but he had not gone to the land. He didn't even know about the order of the receiving. He would never receive that promise if he had never went.
Right.
If Abraham never would have went, you would never be calling him. We wouldn't call him the father of faith right now.
Right.
If. What if he hadn't obeyed? What about Moses? God spoke to him and ordered his life at the burning bush. What if he didn't turn to see it? What if he had lost faith in what God said and stopped obeying after the first time that Pharaoh said, no, I will not let them go? Come on. We're human here right now. Moses was human then too. So whenever we have someone says no to us, a lot of times that means stop. A lot of times we like to stop because it's like, okay, God, you must not be in this. But he said, what he did with Moses was over and over. He said, I'm going to harden his heart. I told you I'm going to harden his heart because he had a greater thing. And Moses didn't know that he was going to defeat all the gods of the Egyptians. It was his purpose. Moses didn't know it when he was in it.
Right.
Come on. He didn't know that he was going to basically destroy all of what they worshipped because he was the only one true God. By the end of all the plagues, then it was known that God, the only God, destroyed all of those so-called gods. There is none like our God. So if Moses, each and every time, would have thought, whenever I was told no, I must have not heard God right. Come on. I must not heard God right. Whenever that person said, whenever I went and witnessed to them, and they rejected the gospel,
yeah.
Did I hear you right, God? Maybe I wasn't right. It's not our responsibility to say no. You can't, and I can't.
No.
It's not possible. But he can.
Amen.
What if he had lost all the faith that he had had? What if Moses hadn't followed the stepping stones that God had put in front of him? They weren't easy. You can't say it was easy just because we know the end of the story. Think about what Moses had to go through. He was relegated down to a shepherd. And became the greatest pastor that we've ever known.
Yeah. Yeah.
Millions called him pastor. He was on the backside of the desert, saw a burning bush. It started there. If, and then God came. God did great things that he could never imagine to himself. He never thought whenever he went out in the wilderness, I was in the kingdom, the greatest kingdom in the world. I was a prince there. But yet, I left that away when I got killed as Egyptian. I ran and fled because I didn't do it in the order of God. I decided I'd do it my way. That's another message. But moving on past that, he went into the wilderness and found a wife. Started sheep herding. But if. And God made him a great man.
Yeah.
A great man. Not for his own purpose, but for God's purpose.
Right.
We can see that he obeyed, and because he obeyed, then we see how God moved. What if you don't obey? But what if you do?
Yeah.
We are not always going about 100, but sometimes, and hopefully more times than not, we're going to say, yes, God, I'm going to do that. Yes, God, I'm going to talk to my neighbor about Christ. Yes, God, I'm going to walk in faith. Yes, God, I'm going to pray. Yes, God, I'm going to read my word. Yes, God, yes. No matter what, God, yes. It doesn't matter what you're asking. Yes, 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 because of him. Our Heavenly Father has prepared a place for us, and he has given us a path to follow to get there. And when you really see God for who he is, and you've been in his presence, how could you want anything else? Really in his presence. There's no place like the presence of God.
Exactly.
There is no place. Oftentimes we're blessed with so great worship in this house that the Holy Ghost takes over the service. Praise the Lord for it. There's no place like the Holy Spirit. There's no place when God comes and says, I want to sup with you. There's no place whenever he comes to speak into your life. And no one has to touch you, but God touches you because he's the one that makes the difference.
Amen. Yes, he is. Yes, sir.
Only God.
Only God.
You are left in that reverence and the fear of the Lord because knowing and seeking after the truth will cause you to want to obey him. Now, let's face it. I've got 3 children. They don't always like to obey.
Yeah. That's right.
Come on. How about yours?
That's right. Ours didn't either. Ours didn't
either. Inherently, we as men don't like to obey. Because we feel like we're giving something up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we are. But it's for a greater glory. You hear me? It's for a greater glory. It's for a greater good. It's for a greater purpose. Because when you give it up, that's called trust. When I decide to trust in him, then therefore he will do this. Great and mighty things I know it's not. Because there's a whole lot of things I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know what I think is going to happen tomorrow. But you know what? I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow. But he does. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know if I'm going to hit by a car tomorrow. But I do know him.
Yeah.
And I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen. I don't have to. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. What is that saying? Come on, answer to your heart. those that draw back and don't have faith. He has no pleasure in that. So that means if you don't trust him, he has no pleasure in that. If you can't believe him, that he is God. Can you believe? Can you believe that he is, with the world as crazy as it is, wants to make you believe there's no truth in God? It wants you to make you believe that there can't be possibly a God because there wouldn't be all this evil going on. And then it keeps trying to penetrate the church. Come on. It wants to penetrate the church, the living God, because there's so many, they're not reading the Bible and knowing the truth and saying, hey, maybe, that maybe is trouble. Because there's no maybe in God. There is God. Period. God asks us to do something specifically. It's specifically the way he asked it to happen. He didn't ask, if you maybe do this, I may do that for you. No, he said, if you, then I will. He didn't say, maybe I will. He said, I will. Yeah. He is the truth and the life. It's no darkness in him. In the darkest part of the world, those that are, the Christ is in us, are the brightest that will be shining. Because in the darkest place, the light is the brightest. So therefore, as we approach the day of his coming, it's going to get darker. As you can see, it's getting darker every single day. But you know what? Today, we're a lot closer to rapture than we were last week. Praise the Lord for that. Because it's coming. Expect it. Be looking up. So if God takes no pleasure in the one who draws back from him, then he must take great pleasure in the one that who is following him by faith and obedience. Isn't that a beautiful thing? For something so small, there's something so great to happen.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Don't you take great joy when your children are obedient?
Yes.
Glory to God, I do.
Amen.
Oh, it's like, Pierce, have mercy this morning. Before Pierce came to church, his nose was in the corner. Because he got in trouble because he disobeyed. So go stand in the corner. We'll count how many minutes you're going to have standing there. Those big brown eyes, puppy dog look. Look at Dad, said, turn your head around. I don't want to see it. That's why I put you in the corner. Because my heart aches for him. He's my son.
Sure.
And I love him. But you know, yesterday when I picked them up, Pierce came to me, hugged me and said, Dad, I miss you.
No.
And you're awesome.
Yeah.
I said, what do I have? Everything that I have is yours. My son, I'm well pleased with my children. I love them more than me. But when you're obedient,
yes.
Your Heavenly Father
yes.
is faithful and will come and see you where you are. What paths are you leaving for your children to follow? Are they paths of obedience? What ruts are you leaving for them? Are they ruts of disobedience? No. Will they be stuck in that? Every day I pray. Children in reverence to you, to have a relationship with you.
Yes.
Help me not make the mistake of not spending the moments of showing them who Christ Jesus is. That's the greatest thing that I can show them. There's nothing else. Every single day and night I pray with my children. I pray for them, but I pray with them. Parents, you need to pray with them. They need to hear the voice of the parent praying over them and for them. They need to learn to pray by you and me.
Amen.
They need us to be faithful. They need us to reverence God for who he really is. What if you obey and witness to that one you felt like should witness to? Romans 3:3 says, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? If they don't believe, does that make your faith any different?
Come on.
If they don't believe, Does that change a thing?
No.
No, because you were faithful to say. You were faithful to spread the gospel. You were faithful when God spoke. You were faithful. Does that change God? No, he's unchanging. So what happens? Sometimes our obedience to God focuses on what it will cost us. But the Bible specifically tells us not to get weary in well-doing, because if you don't, if you obey, and if you don't give up, then you ought to reap a harvest. Amen. Reap a harvest. I pray every day this church reaps a harvest, not to fill the pews, but fill heaven. I'm not concerned about what he is. God is the one that adds to the church daily. I'm concerned how many is going to get on the ark and get to the other side. Come on. We have lots of lost loved ones all over this church. We have lost loved ones that are not just sitting in here, but they need to know Christ, and by my obedience, there makes a difference. So the seed, God is responsible. What? I'm dry. It is. God is responsible to add to the church daily. Oftentimes we think that this is our job. Our programs are not where it's at. God's where it's at. God's responsible for adding to the church daily. That's you and me. That's not this building. He's responsible. That's what the word says in Acts 2 and 47. However, how we will hear, they hear, if the gospel is not told. How will they hear? In a world that right now, someone hasn't been. There's so many that do not know God. There's so many.
So many.
Have faith in the penetrating word of God. It does not return void. No matter what it looks like, they that hear will make a decision. They either listen to it or they don't. But the plant, the seed, you may find the next person to be the water bearer's host. And maybe the next person. It's known that the gospel has to be presented at least 3 times most of the time. Unless they prepared the heart. If God's prepared the heart, it may be instant. And you may reap the harvest because someone has to sow the seed and someone else has watered it. But many times in the world that's so confused with chaos and so busy, they're trying to look for the truth. If they make books that say religion for dummies, come on. People are looking for truth. If they make ridiculous books like that, in the world that we live in today, they're looking. So don't allow yourself to look at the faces. Look at the heart. It's not your responsibility to save them, not me or you. We're responsible to obey the word of God. And if he wishes none should perish, then you and I should not.
Yes.
So therefore we present the gospel. What if you live like there was no tomorrow? What if the rapture happened tomorrow? What if? How would you live today? I dare say every single one of us would change our ways. We would make phone calls to everyone we ever met for them to be saved. What if? What if today was all we had left? If there's no tomorrow, we would focus hard on following Jesus today. What if I made a difference in someone else's life? The prophet Daniel did in King Darius' life after his faith took him through the lion's den. Remember, it's through the lion's den. The king demanded that everyone in the whole kingdom reverence the God of Daniel. He made a difference because of his faith, and he prayed. He was a man of prayer, and they saw the difference. So King Darius was changed, and the whole kingdom changed because of one man.
Yes, sir.
Everyone worshiped the God Daniel. What if I took a stand? The Hebrew children, the 3 Hebrew children, they lived like there was no tomorrow for them. And the 4th man showed up in the fire. What if I believed the centurion did? His servant had no tomorrow, but because the centurion believed in Jesus, the power of Christ showed up. What if I called on God? Paul and Silas were in prison. It seemed like there was no tomorrow for them, but they called and the shackles fell off. The locked prison became an incredible testimony. What if I said no to the old man? The apostle Paul did. The old man Saul was condemned to the law, but he said no to that old man, and then God used him to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. What if? I let the past stay in the past. The woman caught in adultery had no tomorrow. They were ready to stone her to death, but when Jesus saw her, he told her to go and don't sin no more.
Right.
What if? What if I let fear and anxiety go? The woman with the issue of blood had no tomorrow. She was cut off from all those she loved because of her sickness. Fear and anxiety ruled her life, but there was something in her pushing her towards Jesus.
Yeah.
Now hear me. Anything and everything that ails you is fixed in Christ. It doesn't matter. The Word tells us this. What if I believe the truth and not the lie? The world's spitting out lies every single day, and it's spoken more and more in our lives, because how many times do we have a phone in our hand or a screen going on? And what is on the screen? What is on the radio? What is coming into the ears all day long? Even if it's something decent, a lot of times I listen to worship music with no words, because I don't want anybody's words in my head, I want his. I'm listening for him. I like words, and when I'm driving down the road or something, I like to worship that way. But when I'm praying, I don't need somebody's words. I need his. I want God to show up, and I expect it. So I'm preparing for it and knowing that he will.
Yes,
so with the world as loud as it is, each and every moment, when I'm looking at those things, I'll pull up YouTube and there'll be an instrumental Christian music. Lo and behold, there's commercials.
That's right.
And you can't hardly wait to say, push the skip button. There's always going to be another voice to listen to.
Right.
Which one will we allow to be louder? The small, still voice is truth. The loud voice roaring like a lion is a liar. He can only kill, steal, and destroy if we don't do the then. God is greater. What if I sacrifice all? Jesus did, and hell said there was no tomorrow. But 3 days later, he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and set every captive free.
Yeah.
What if I realize that the answer to all these questions are found in him? God has a then waiting when you do the if. In closing, if you would please stand. Been praying on how and what to do for the altar. Have you been waiting on God's then, but have not been focusing on your if? I know it's quiet in here. Let's think about our hearts. God is waiting on you and I to fulfill his promises. Isn't that amazing in itself? He's waiting on you and I to fulfill his promises to you. Would you do the if? Would I seek God with my whole heart? Would I seek after him and no other? Would I stay faithful to he that can make real change? If tomorrow never comes, what have I done today? I didn't come to warm a pew. I came to glorify God. I thank everyone in the house. Is no come around these altars and pray about it. If.